MoneyWeb at midday for all your up-to-date stories.
I want to reflect now on some of the lessons of 2024 and look ahead to this year for the retail credit market in South Africa. And I'm in conversation with Regan Adams, who's Chief Executive Officer at RCS, a leader in flexible and innovative credit solutions. Regan, I'm hoping, is going to share some insight on balancing credit growth on the one hand with responsible lending, the rise of digital transformation, and how the broader industry can adapt to evolving consumer needs. So, Regan, a very warm welcome, and maybe let's start off with some of the more significant difficulties or hurdles that the retail credit market faced last year.
Thanks, Jamie, and very happy to be with you guys. Look, it was a tough year. I think it was a tough year macroeconomically speaking. But, you know, this has already started towards the back end of 22, carrying on in 2023, where we've seen rising interest rates, rising inflation. And of course, all of us have exposure to inflation, so we're all impacted by the cost of living. But I think the interest rates increasing have really impacted, especially the leveraged middle to high income segments, quite significantly. And you get to a position where your debt repayments are significantly more than what your cost of income or your income gets adjusted on an annual basis. So we've seen a lot of consumers out there really battling to repay their debt as a result of these factors. And as I said, it started towards the back end in 22, carried on 23, and in 24 was no different. We saw that becoming more problematic. And, you know, we've seen some difficult signs in the first 6 months of 24. We saw increase in debt review applications. We saw higher defaults on secured debt like mortgages. And that all points to stress in the market from a repayment perspective. So I think it's been very tough on the consumers. From a trading perspective, you can really see on the retail side that trading has been quite muted. Credit trading has been quite muted. Cash definitely has outstripped credit trading when you look at the retailers. So all in all, I think it's been a challenging 6 to 9 months in 2024 for the consumers out there.
Regan, interestingly, and we did cover this earlier on the program, this concept or this notion of buy now, pay later, it's a trend that is particularly influencing younger consumers and how it compares to traditional lay-by systems. What is it? And explain to me why you think that is finding some favor.
You know, Jeremy, the buy now, pay later products came kind of into being just as we came out of COVID. And as you know, credit in particular took quite a big knock in COVID because, you know, people were losing their jobs or they weren't earning the income that they used to earn. And for lenders, it was difficult to assess consumers for credit because all the models that you had to assess someone was kind of turned upside down with the pandemic. And, you know, through credit regulation, maybe we'll talk about it a little bit later, we need to do affordability assessments. We need to do income assessments. You need to do quite rigorous credit assessments through the bureaus. And this takes time, and it's a process that's very robust, but also time-consuming, and there is some friction in that process. Now, buy now, pay later, where it's a very, very simple process. It's not regulated in South Africa. It is for the consumer, you don't pay any fees, you don't pay any interest. So from a pure consumer perspective, it's easy to get these products. They're typically over 3 month repayment period. It's smaller ticket sizes. And it's easier to, the approval rates on buy now, pay later products are way superior than credit products because it doesn't need to apply through all these credit regulation that's there. And, you know, the younger consumers, they like this because, you know, credit is seen as kind of the older generation's thing. You know, the old cards, store cards and so on. And this is a mechanism that is mainly digital. It's kind of very appeals very much to a younger segment. And relative to lay-bys, why retailers like it is, you know, with lay-bys, you still need to hold on to the goods for 3 months before it gets released to the consumer. And that means holding on stock, and there's a stock holding cost. But buy now, pay later, obviously, you can take the stock on day one, and it's repaid over a period of over the 3 months by consumers.
You also talk about the concept of extending credit to something called thin file consumers. And all of this is driven by machine learning, which enables that but manages the risk at the same time. Is more of the space that you're operating in going to be impacted then by artificial intelligence when it comes to decision making?
Yes, yeah, I would say not just as decision making also, but also just generally how one does business. You know, the specific aspect of artificial intelligence that we use in terms of our credit decisioning is machine learning models. And the benefit of machine learning models is that you can put quite a lot of variables and data in machine learning, and the machine learning models can crunch these data much more sophisticatedly and more granularly. So you're able to differentiate risk better. You're able to look at a lot more variables to assess people for credit and in a much more scientific way. So that is really beneficial, and it means that you can consume large data sets to be able to make those decisions. Now, in this particular case, when you reference thin file is a term that is given to individuals that don't necessarily have a credit bureau record on the bureaus. And what you then do is you use other data to be able to assess that person's credit worthiness. And this is really where we've used machine learning models to take some of these other data sources and assess somebody for credit.
And just a final one then, let's look ahead to the rest of this year. Interest rate cuts, hopefully, inflation, the picture is starting to look a little bit better. What impact is all of this going to have on the credit market? You outlined at the beginning how tough it's been since end 2022-23. Yeah. A glimmer of hope here, perhaps?
Definitely, Jeremy. I would see that lenders will be a bit more expansive in their credit appetite, their risk appetite. We've already seen towards the back end of last year that lenders are beginning to open up. You know, right through the year, there's been demand for credit. Obviously, people are still searching for credit, and lenders have been more conservative. But we're definitely seeing, and that includes us as a lender, we're definitely seeing more opening up, being a bit more expansive in terms of taking on more credit. And like you say, the 50 basis points decrease was welcome towards the end of last year. We believe there should be further cuts. Inflation's kind of moderating within that range, which is really good. So I definitely see from a conservative perspective, I would expect there to be more availability of credit, which should bode well for the lending space, but also for the retail market out there.
I have absolutely no doubt that we will talk again in 2025. Regan Adams, thank you very much indeed, Chief Executive Officer of RCS.